Well, welcome back to The Political Strategist. This is your host for the podcast, Brenda K. Sanders. I'm glad to be with you, back with you here on the podcast. And I came on the podcast today to just memorialize some more facts that have arisen. And I provide these facts because it's simply needed. It's simply needed. And I know I can sense right now spiritually someone's very, very upset about this podcast, but I'm going to say it anyway. The shootings are connected. The shootings are connected. I recently, I don't know when it was, whenever the main shooting was, but I reposted something that Senator Bernie Sanders said about Joe Biden in the White House. And I agree with what he said. And I reposted it on my Facebook page. And I think the same day, or maybe the next day, I gotta see how many days later, the main shooting took place. Okay. And so, again, this is not the first time I have associated a shooting with something I said or did. Now, if you think about it, you could put two and two together, maybe one and one together, and come out with a number. And that number is, it's not coincidental. That's what the number is. I reposted a video that Senator Bernie Sanders, and he was critical of the White House, and I agree with the criticism. And a day or two later, the main shooting took place. Now, we have Senator Bernie Sanders, and it is remarkable because I never heard of Bernie Sanders until I think it was the night of the 2008 election. Maybe that is the case, because I remember hearing this person, Sanders. Yeah, I think it was on Fox News or CNN. Sanders. All I heard was Sanders. I was like, who is the Sanders? I mean, I like it that they're mentioning Sanders. And they were going over the election results over and over and over. And they were mentioning Sanders. And I was like, that's wonderful. And believe me, I've not seen election results since then like that. And the coverage that was extensive in that time, I've not seen it since. I thought it was good for me anyway. That the Senator Sanders was pulling so far ahead in his race. And I can recall the commentaries about him getting 70% of the vote and 75% of the vote. And I'm like, who is this Sanders? And that's the first time I learned of who Bernie Sanders was. But recently, like I said, I reposted something he said on Facebook. And immediately, the state of Maine shooting, the shooting took place in the state of Maine, is what I guess I should say. I could correlate, you know, that act with the shooting in the very, very extreme northeast part of the United States. Senator Sanders being from Vermont, I think, which is right next door. Now I have to check my map of it. But think Maine and Vermont are next door. And this is, something is going on. There is an army, an unofficial army that has been trained, groomed. I said this before here on the Political Strategist, groomed to shoot at any time, any place. And I'm sorry, you know, someone might say, well, you know, you're not that important. Well, I would hope not to be, but it is a way that I don't want to be important, but it keeps coming up. And so I'm speaking it here on this program. The coincidences have run out. It's merely intentional, if you ask me. You can keep the map. You can keep the graph. But it's intentional. And I have repeated it here on the Political Strategist over and over and over and over and over. And, you know, what I think is that we need a president that will stop this violence, that will stop this violence. I told you before about I don't know if it was a dream or a vision, but I saw a ball game, a baseball game, and I saw a set of bleachers. And this set of bleachers was now, I mean, now it's a little further back than I saw it the first time I saw it. It was close up on the field, the diamond, and the home base. And I saw a person in these bleachers get up. And I could not see his face, but I saw his body get up as though they were, I don't know where they were going. They were facing toward where I could see their front, but I don't know where they're going. But they got up out of these seats that was watching this baseball game and proceeded to the left. They moved to the left. And I could not see, like I said, their face. I could see their clothing. And I don't want to, at this time, say what their clothing looked like. But I will say they had on a dress shirt, long sleeve dress shirt, collared shirt. And they had, to me, it had a slightly protruding stomach, is what I see. And they had a belt around their waist, which meant this is a disciplinarian type. And that belt was kind of a hanging around their waist. It was not fastened tightly. And then they had on these pants. And there were loops in the pants, and the belt passed through the loops. And so I don't know who that describes, but that may be the next person that's going to take control of our country. The person seemed short. That person didn't seem tall at all. Or maybe it's the mastermind behind these shootings. But certainly I can see a person. A person can be seen. I can't see their face, but I can see a figure moving to the left that's watching this baseball game. I said that before. But in any event, the other shooting, which I want to tell you about, is today. Today in the city of Atlanta. They try to act like all of these people are mentally ill and or veterans or somehow marred or, you know, mentally, you know, susceptible, I guess, to this violence. But how do they get these AR-15s? That's what I want to know. And that's the common denominator that cannot be explained, except you say it is intentional, organized violence. How are they getting AR-15s? How are they walking up getting AR-15s? I can't walk up and get an AR-15. I don't even know how. Someone is putting the guns in their hands. Someone is putting the guns in their hands. If some of these individuals have the mental illness history that they are reporting, there's no way they would get an AR-15. Don't you think that by now, if someone steps up in a gun dealership or a gun store and says, I want an AR-15, don't you think some alarms would go off? Don't you think some red flags would go up? Some triggers would be activated in the wake of the extended history of gun violence that we now have in this country? And that's because it's patterned violence. It's organized violence. You've heard of organized crime. Well, this is organized crime. And it's government related. And so every act, and I hate to say it, I mean, when you have military planes, at your every move, it is not unreasonable to expect that a shooting would take place every time you move. I mean, it's the same conduct, except some of the conduct is in the air, some of it is on foot, but it's the same objective to try to silence my words, try to silence my truth and my voice. But it's just a different mechanism. And so I'm looking for God's solution and provision in this hour, in this situation. You know, I talked about how, I think it was 2007, when I wasn't even thinking about anything prophetic at all. I was not. I mean, maybe I had been to a couple of prophetic meetings, and my sister and I had, had visited some meetings and maybe had a couple of services. But I myself had pretty much made up my mind that I was going to be an attorney or do something political by that point. But it was at that point that God, that was the first time I think I memorized. And at those days, I typed everything that I heard. And I thought it was amazing that I heard so much supernaturally. And to me, it seems more louder now than it was then. Then I had to sit silently and hear these words, which I emailed to myself and emailed to others, but I'm trying to find those words. But they were very extensive prophetic words, and I'm amazed at that point in my life I could hear such prophetic words. But they were very quiet, real small voice type words. They were not loud like they are now. But I heard the Lord say, I'm going to be moving, taking turns in the air, taking turns in the air was one of them. But there was another area he was taking turns, making turns. He said, I'm going to be making turns, which I didn't know what it meant. But then, and there, I'm going to, I believe he said, use comedy to heal the hurt made by these terms. So he's going to use comedy to heal the hurt caused by these turns. And I should have figured it out then that it was not going to be good making turns in the air. That's the planes that I see chasing me. But there's one area of the prophecy I can't remember right now, but I did put it on Anchor. I did put it on Facebook, and I got to review my own prophetic word. But it is almost come to pass word for word. Everything that the Lord told me then, when I was not even trying to be prophetic. I mean, it was just coming to me. But it was certainly more smaller voice than it is now. But his words were true, nevertheless, the words of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to be taking turns in the air. And then the next thing he said, and then I will use comedy to heal the hurt caused by these terms. Now, I'm looking for the comedy right now, you all. I'm looking for the comedy. I'm looking for that healing balm for the hurt I feel from these terms. So God already knew about the planes taking place. He already knew, I believe, about the violence. And now I'm seeking him for the healing of these very grievous situations. But here we go with today. I just happened to be, I believe, I don't know what I was doing, to tell you the truth, but I think I was looking at something about Pastor Warnock in the Senate. I can't remember what it was, to tell you the truth. Something came and swiped my memory away about it. But maybe it was the shooting itself. And then I looked at the news and found that there was a shooting today. I believe in the Atlanta area, or maybe it was in D.C. That's what it was. In D.C., outside the Senate offices, and the shooter was from Atlanta. I mean, that would have to be orchestrated way ahead of time. And I guess as a potential legislator, I would have to know that. I would have to be informed about that. There certainly needs to be a band-aid for this very, very, very troubling problem. And what it is organized crime. It's organized crime in America. And that's what we have to do, break up this organized crime ring. It doesn't look like an organized crime ring. It looks like it's loosely. It looks like individual, independent shooters. No, this is an organized network of shooters. And that's why we have the problem that we have in our country right now. These shootings are planned. They're intentional. Now, I don't like to think of myself as the center or the trigger for these shootings. I have a lot of things to do in my day. I really do. I do have a lot I can be doing. So I could care less about a shooting. I care less about being a motive for a shooting. But someone knows something. The FBI knows. The government knows that this is an organized effort. The president knows, in my opinion. The vice president knows, even though I keep seeing her at a podium on the right wearing white. I really do. She's not a disciplinarian because I see her wearing around her waist a very thin leather belt. A very, very, very thin leather belt. So I know that she's not a part of this violence because God told me. He revealed it to me. He let me know. And so I already see her as someone that is, I don't know, I see her standing, but she's standing in innocence. She's standing in, someone that's not really involved in this because the vision told me so as I interpreted. And if anyone has a better or more succinct interpretation about it, let me know. But I believe she's standing in innocence about these matters. So I just wanted to come on here, the political strategist, and talk about these last two shootings and how obvious it is to me about who's doing it and how it needs to be looked at and how it needs to be scrutinized. I'm running for office for a reason. I simply want these shootings to stop. And I want to see the American people free from this violence and this terror in our country, within our borders. That's why I'm running for Congress. And that's why I would be running for the U.S. Senate. Because their eyes need to be opened about what's going on. And I believe they know, except that there is a legislative silence in Washington about these things. It's like the blue code with police officers. But there's a legislative code of not talking about these shootings. It's obvious, as plain as the nose on your face, or my face, like my mother used to say, what's going on? The problem is, what's going to be done about it? And, you know, I've always been put in the place of being a person, that action person. I remember when there were discriminatory practices going on in my law school, and I remember, you know, like calling my fellow law students to the side and said, "Did you see that? Did you hear that? Blah, blah, blah. Something should be done. Blah, blah, blah." And I was the person that in the end wound up leading the action that led to the demise of those practices. They don't want to admit it now, but that is the truth. I was on, CNN. I was on the media. My name was, you know, splattered across the media pages because I felt led that we had to do something and something had to be done. And it's happening again. It's happening again. These shootings are patterned and orchestrated around things I've done and said. Okay, maybe it's coincidental, but I don't think so after all this time. And so it needs to stop. It needs to stop. I can clearly lean in and see these things. And now with you, with your natural eyes, can see it as well. And but I guess I don't want to ask the Lord, because he'll tell me probably, well, you're the one that knows it. How about doing something about it? It's not easy. Stance an easy position to be in. I would rather be, I don't play golf. I don't like golf. I don't find it interesting. A lot of people do. I just don't. But I'd rather be doing something like my activity of choice, of course, would be to play music or be involved in some music. Concerts is what I like. Or painting, or I'm trying to think what else I like. But definitely something other than sitting around looking at shootings that coincidentally coincide with my words. It is a mess. It's a giant mess that needs to be cleaned up. And I guess maybe it'll spur my run for Congress and seal it, because I'm really tired. I'm tired. I'm wearied by this violence. And I'm wearied by the fact that my every word is mocked or repeated or like I said, celebrated in a very negative way. And so I'm on here again on the podcast to talk about it. And I guess I'm again exclaiming my disgust about what I see in this country. We need to replace every politician that cannot see that through this veil of violence. I mean, we do. I believe many of them may be themselves terrorized, possibly. And that's where the hesitance to deal with the situation head on arises. But certainly, a multi-faceted effort needs to be mounted to kill this organized ring of violence in our country. We need to start telling the truth. We don't need public officials acting surprised, because they definitely know what's going on. And when I talk right now, a Dallas Cowboy star rises up, and I can see it. That star is situated on the left, and so Dallas is involved. Dallas was involved in a Kennedy shooting, and it is continued. I see it supernaturally. I see the Dallas Cowboy star as I talk about this matter. And I know that God is telling me the answer. The revealing is there. It really is. We need some guts. We need some fortitude. We need some courage to get it done. Get it done. It's gone on so long. Get it done. If it takes all of the armies of our military, get it done. You know, Saul, God has said it to me over and over and over. It's a Saul. And Saul did itself. But, I'm kind of impatient about this thing. God, hello? Why should we wait until Saul does himself? Why can't we just go in, take him, and conquer? But that's not what God intends. But I'm tired of the violence. I'm tired and weary about it. I'm weary about coming on this podcast talking about it. And I'm praying that this pattern will one day end. It will end. And I'm praying about the solution to this. I really am. So thank you. Thank you for listening. I'm not ranting. I'm purposely talking about these things once again. I'm not ranting. I'm not raving. I am intentionally addressing what is an obvious problem, and we have the solution. We have the solution. These shooters, I've said it before, they need to be grilled and interrogated. And I'm the last person to say that as a defense attorney of 24 years. They need to be grilled and interrogated until they reveal how they got to that shooting, how they got that AR-15. I don't believe that's being done. I believe they're being patty caked and serviced, if you will, like Dylann Roof was when the Charleston shootings took place. And I believe no one is asking the right questions. The right questions to get this done. Today's election day. Happy election day. I know it's the end of the day. But hopefully by next election day, there will be a solution to what I see as a very, very obvious problem in our country. So thank you for tuning in. I thank you for listening to me this very night. And talk to you next time.